and all kinds of things threatening their lives. The question was asked, with all these voices and all these things going on, who is it that hears God's voice? We want to know what God is saying. And one bright person said, well, let's go and find this man that we know hears from God. He's a bit of an odd guy, but we'll go and ask him. And they went to ask him, and obviously caught him on a bit of an off moment. He said, well, if you get me some music, I'll tell you what God is saying. I mean, they were using harps and things like that and lyres, but, you know, we use Takamina. Is that good? Is that Japanese? Is that a takeaway? You've no idea, have you? Is it? And I just feel this morning that as God speaks, he also wants to minister through the words. Now, we expect him to do that every week, but particularly this morning, it's just a sense of the melody of God. Can I put it that way? As a church this year, we've been challenged by God to consider what it means to live as a sent people. And there are just kind of three dynamics that we need to get to grips with that. The first one is that we need to be alive. So do you know to check if you're alive or not? Stuart, you're on it. Check your pulse. Don't use your thumb, though, but use your fingers. Everybody know how to check your pulse? We got Nurse Judy over there. Simon, you probably know how to do that, don't you? Check your pulse. Sorry, don't wake you up. Do you know how to check your pulse? We can come and check it, or we can use a mirror and see if there's any breath coming out of you. But the first thing is about to live as a sent people, we need to be alive. That's just basic, isn't it? The second criteria is that we go in somewhere. And as a church, we've been looking at different bits of the Bible each month, and this month it happens to be Book of John for most of this month, and then it's 1 and 2 Timothy. There's a really important scripture in there early in the Book of John that says people who know Jesus, people who have the Holy Spirit, they're sent by God. But they're sent in such a way of life, in such a sense of God's life, you're never really sure where they're going to go or what they're going to do. The Bible puts it this way, is that they're blown by the wind this way and that. And I just wonder whether today God wants to encourage some of us and maybe inspire some of us to let go a little bit of the things that we've known on how to do them and how to be them and start to move a little bit more by the blowing of the Holy Spirit. The initiative of God. Let's put it that way. Do you know what I mean by that? Is it rather than, oh, it's Monday, what did I do last Monday, do it the same? You know, it's May, what did I do last May, do it the same? Or it's me, what did I do last time, let's do it again. Is it, no, Holy Spirit, show me a different way. Show me a Yahweh, show me a different way. You can read all about that in, I think that's in John 3, there's a little bit about that. But the story starts in John 2 that we kind of looked at earlier in the week. This incredible miracle. And I want to encourage you. Not about the power of wine over water, because that's kind of the story really. But the fact that God knows how to take very base elements and make something brilliant out of them. There were 8 34-pound weight jars of water, and they were mostly there for cleansing. Suddenly they came into the hands of Jesus and he transformed them into the most expensive, priceless, sought after wine there was on planet at that time. And I just suggest that God wants to do the same with you and with me. He's quite happy to take the very base objects, the funny looking jar and the funny looking water, but when you put them into the hands of Jesus, he will transform them in a moment to be the best there is and the best there can be. That's what I like about John. It says this was one of the first miraculous signs that Jesus did. If you're a Christian here this morning, I think you are. You're like that first miraculous sign that Jesus did. If you've given your life to Jesus this morning, that's a tremendous miracle. Because God has taken things that should never be successful and given them a new life to make them successful. I think that's brilliant, don't you? He's taken things that were used for very regular, very non-consequential things and totally transform them to be used for God. I think that's awesome. I don't know if anybody else agrees with that, but I find the power in that miracle is brilliant. And I've used that message at weddings many, many times, but it's always been around God keeps the best till last. Woo-hoo! Your best years are ahead of you. Your most powerful times with Jesus are ahead of you. Your most powerful hearings and timings with God are ahead of you. Your most powerful senses of understanding of the Bible are ahead of you. They're not behind you. But we only live in them as if we live like young people, not old people. Jesus says, be like a child, but not childish. And in this chapter of John 2, Mary just said, just do whatever he tells you to do, right? We all know the story. And I just love the simplicity that out of simple obedience, God can take one thing and make a miracle out of it. He wants to do the same with you and he wants to do the same with me. So as we live with a sent person, we're not just sent as ordinary people. You're sent as extraordinary people because God's done something in our lives. Does that make some sense to somebody? Graham, thank you, Jesus. Verse 17 of that same chapter, we have this word. Jesus from himself says, the zeal consumes me. Is that what it says? You see, I think one of the issues that we have which stops us living as a sent people is that we love what we know and we love what we do already. We love it. Is that just me? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? We just love what we already know. We love the way things are. We love the way things work. But this zeal, I did a little bit of Bible study on it. It means hot, fiery, and passionate. This is English, right? This is England, okay? I know not everybody's English here. But God wants you and I to be hot and fiery and passionate, not about what we have, but about what we can have. Let me put it this way. What we tolerate becomes our normal. But a sent person like you, like me, if you know Jesus, the first thing that we need to do to move forward is know that we don't have to stay here. There's a zeal, there's a passion in the life of God that says there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more of me to see. There's more of me to experience. There's more of me to read about. There's more of me to hear about. But also there's more I want to do in you. That's the zeal that Jesus has for you and for me and for the house. Then in chapter 3, and again, I'm just paraphrasing. I haven't got time to go into the tremendous wealth and depth of all the Bible, but I'm just picking out the things that God was really speaking to me about and just want to share those thoughts with you. John 3, verse 6 says this, flesh will always give birth to flesh. The Spirit will always give birth to things of the Spirit. We were born flesh. When you give your life to Jesus, we're born again, the Bible says, of Spirit and water. That means today, when we give, we can either give out of spirit or we can give out of old. I don't know about you, but I want to give out of spirit. What that means is that living as a sent people is I'm not going to be shaped by the circumstances that are around me. I'm going to shape them. I'm not going to say that there's no way out when the way in is Yahweh and he's in me already. He is the way and the truth and the life. I might not see it, but as long as I see him, I see the way out. I'm not going to be restricted by what my body's telling me I can or cannot do, because his spirit says I can do all things. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that I'm going to look beyond what I can see, and I'm going to reach out for that which I can't touch right now, because God says I can have it, and he says you can have it too. Sometimes we operate with a bit of a mixture. You'll know that, I know that. It's not a judgment, it's not a criticism, it's just a comment. But it's really easy to know what is of the Spirit. The Spirit is always full of light and life, always positive, always lifts. The Spirit is limitless, and the Spirit will always say, why not, rather than cannot. The Spirit always reveals a bit more of Jesus and a bit less of us. The Spirit always produces what we know we can't do. You see, we're really, really good. The world today, society today can do all kinds of extraordinary things. But only God can do what God can do. Only the Holy Spirit can do what the Holy Spirit can do. And this, I think, is particularly highlighted in two areas. Again, we probably know the story. If we're Christians, we would have had this at Bible school or Sunday school or some school, where Jesus went to a woman that he should never have been to and asked her to do something that she should never have done. And immediately, what started as a conversation about a drink ended up with an essential of being a sent person, which is sent people must worship in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? It means that we reflect the essence and the nature of God more than our own. That's what that means. Jesus said to this Samaritan woman, who he really shouldn't have been talking to for all kinds of reasons, which we haven't got time to go into. He said, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you'd ask for more. I think God is saying to you and to me, ask for more. Thank you, Claudia. God is asking you and me, ask for more. Ask for more. Reach out for more. Long for more. Bring a bigger cup next time. Bring a bucket next time. Have you got that? Ask for more. Don't just have a nice time with Jesus. Nice is a biscuit. Have a great time with Jesus. Don't just have a great time with Jesus. Have an awesome time with Jesus. Jesus is saying, ask me for more. I'm here. Ask me for more. See, Jesus is hungry to feed his sheep. But are the sheep hungry? Are you hungry? Man, I'm hungry. This last 7 days, my world has been turned upside down, the right way up. Then it's been turned upside down again. Then it's been turned upside down and shaken a little bit. Then it's been turned back up the right way. And I've realised, when you shook me, Lord, stuff fell out of my life. And he said, that's because you don't need it. It's like loose change. It's like loose change. You don't really need it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in your pocket. It's there for a rainy day. Yeah, right. And the second thing that Jesus speaks about in chapter 3, and this is slightly more subtle, is deliver to sent people, prayer works through your words. Not through your strength or through your experience, but through your faith in Jesus. Interesting story, particularly in verse 50. Jesus only said a few words. Your son will be healed. And at that very time, he was. How cool is that? Which one have you got up there? There you go. Well, I said, Leon, you are on it, man. I believe God wants to inspire you and me to be very definite about our words. Very particular about our words. I believe personally that we live under the words that we speak. Living as a sent person means that I need to know that I am a sent person. I'm not an also-ran or a coulda, woulda, shoulda Christian. No, I'm there on the front. Every row that I sit in is the front row. It's the front row of life. It's the front row of possibility. It's the front row of change. It's the front row of changing compromise into God's best. Wherever you sit or walk or stand, whether you're in employment or you're not in employment, you're standing on the front row of the change that God wants to bring into your life. Is that okay to say that? You might be known the Lord for 6 weeks or 60 years, but you're still on the front row. The question is not about are you on the front row. The question is, are you still going to go forward? Because everywhere you step your foot is the front row. What Jesus was saying is, no, you don't need loads and loads of words. You just need to be confident in the one who sends you. Speak blessing over your life. Speak health over our lives. Speak life over our families. Why? Because they are the very words of God. We've already read that God came as light to the world, and I want that light in my world. Do you want to know how this works? Well, I'm so glad you're here. Oh yeah. Find a hand. Either one. Make sure it's a clean one. And just put it on your nose, like that. Not like that, like that. Emma, you playing this game? Just speak into your hand. Make it nice. Just speak. Speak, say something. Hallelujah, or thank you, Jesus, or when's this bloke going to finish? Something like that. I have no idea. Just say something. Two things are happening, right? You hear one and you feel one. That's because Jesus' words are spirit and their life. It works a bit like that. When you speak, something hears what you speak, but also something is changed by what you speak. Jesus says the words that I give you to speak, you to speak, me to speak, are spirit and their life. They don't just stop when you finish hearing them. They transcend time and space. They change the now and the future. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So to live as a sent people means that we are changing futures of people. That's what we're here for. Chapter 5, it says this. There was all kinds of blind, disabled, lame, paralyzed people, but no one to help them. Now, again, I'm an engineer. I like to know some things. One guy had 14,000 days of being helpless. The Bible says 38 years, but it's the same. 14,000 days of being helpless, but one day Jesus turned up. One day Jesus came. One day the Savior came to his world. One day the healer came into his space. After 14,000 days of leaving the same as he arrived, of struggling the same as he'd struggled, of persevering the same as he'd persevered for the 13,999 days before, this day Jesus came. But he didn't come and say, you idiot. He came and said, what can I do for you? That's Jesus. Jesus knows the days that we live as if we're paralyzed when we shouldn't. Jesus knows the days when we live blind and he's opened up our eyes. Jesus knows the days when we've just limped through life. And he still doesn't come and say, you idiot. What's the matter with you? What he'll do is say, how can I help you? How can I make you walk properly again? How can I help you see again? How can I help you hear again? How can I help take the burden that paralyzes you off you and put it on me, because I've taken it for you already? That's what Jesus says. Jesus is here today to help you in your pool. He's here today to say, I'm here to help you. Man, I'm going to put you so far in that pool, you're going to get overwhelmed by it. This life is going to be life beyond what we've experienced, because it's the life of God. Woohoo! That's what happened that day. After 14,000 years, sorry, days of, is it, might have felt like it. Can't it? There's a journey, all right? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? This is me. Why am I like this? What have I done? It must be my fault. I now feel guilty. I shouldn't feel guilty. I now feel condemned. I shouldn't feel condemned. I now feel rejected. I shouldn't feel rejected. Maybe I was never Jesus's in the first place. I've been on that journey. Or maybe some of you have. It only takes a day. Just takes one moment of one day for Jesus to come right back in and say, what do you want me to do? And everything changed. What I find fascinating about this story, if you read it, is this guy gets totally healed. He doesn't even get in the pool. He just picks up his mat and walks off. That's quite incredible. But it says, when they said, who did this? He said, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to find out though. And the next verse, it says Jesus came back and they got to know each other. And suddenly this guy realized the life that he'd received was more than just a mat conveyor. He was more than just a healed man. He had now had 14,000 more days of destiny in the future than he ever had in the past. His life was transformed by the grace of God. That's what Jesus does to send people. It's amazing. Then we go on a little bit more. This man knew the power of God but needed to know God. So we got to know God. When we look at people that are having a tough time, what do we see? That's going to depend on how we look. Can I just suggest that part of what God is doing at the moment is he wants us to see people as he sees them. Because when we live as a sent people, we're not sent into the world to judge it. We're sent in the world to serve it. I know we do that, but God wants us to do that in a whole new way. You and me, we are the light of the world today. Is that okay? Do you agree with that? I like chapter 6. Maybe you do as well. Chapter 6 is amazing. We find our friend Andrew pops up, and he just puts something very basic into the hand of Jesus, who multiplies it out. But also we find gravity defied and physics. Try walking on water and tell me what happens. Jesus wants to defy the gravity of your world. Whatever's putting you back, whatever is holding us where we are, Jesus comes and breaks that. Whatever is keeping us as the lowest common denominator, Jesus comes in and says, I'm going to take you higher than that. I'm going to make it as if you're walking above the circumstances of your life. It's going to be like you're walking through this, but the fire won't scorch you. The water, you won't drown in it. He's not going to take it away. He's just going to help us walk over it as if it wasn't there. That's living as a sent people. Do you want to live as a sent person? I'm not putting anybody off yet. So in chapter 6, we find gravity is defined. We find the physical world is just turned upside down. How do we do this? Jesus gives us a clue. He says the work today is to believe in Jesus. The work of God is to believe in him and in the one who sent him. I think today God is challenging us in a very gentle kind of way with this kind of challenge. This is for me anyway. It might be different for you. Yes, we're on a journey that God has increased his own personal pace a little bit. We don't have time to wait until we're ready. So God isn't waiting until we're ready. He's waiting until we're willing. God is waiting for you and for me to be willing in our heart to say, God, I just want you and you alone. I don't want to live a normal life. I want to live your normal life. I don't want to live with what I've known. I want to live with a new sense of knowing you. I don't want to live the next 10 years like the last 10. I want to live them like your 10. Is this making some sense? Is it God is saying to us, ask me, like he did with the man after 14,000 days. What can I do? I believe he's saying that to you and to me today. Is that okay? Let's all stand up, shall we? Because I don't know what God is saying to you. Number of things. It might be challenging. It might be encouraging. It might be inspiring. I have no idea. But I know God is speaking to everybody in the room. I've been tussling with this last night, early. This one was like, God, what do you want to do? And he said, just speak the words of life and let my spirit do the rest. So I have no idea what you need to do to respond to what you've heard. It might be go and have a coffee, in which case God bless your coffee. It might be you just want to sit and cry, in which case God bless your weeping, hallelujah. Might be that you want to come and thump me, in which case, excellent. It might just be that you want to express something to Jesus. Lord, I just want more of you. Because that was my hope, is that it's Jesus, I know I can have more, and I want it. I'm hungry, and only you satisfy. You are the one who has words of life. Not the newspapers, not videos, not even my friends, not even my closest friends. But Jesus, you have words of life. And I want those afresh. Maybe you just lost your appetite to pray, in which case God wants you to have it back. Maybe you've lost your appetite to just read the Word of God. Well, God wants you to stay hungry to read the Word of God. Maybe you've lost your appetite to have your own worship time with Jesus. Well, God wants to restore that hunger to worship Jesus. That's how we live and move and have our being. So as we kind of continue to worship, because this is like a worshipy message, isn't it? It's not been loud and it's not been kind of pokey pokey. It's just you just respond however you want for a few minutes. But in a moment, we're going to break bread and share communion together, one with another. And God is going to use that time. He's going to heal you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to remind you. He's going to endorse you. He's going to say, what can I do for you? He's going to lift you up. He's going to heal your body. Because that's what he does. He's going to bring some hope where there might not be any. He's going to bring a little bit of comfort where maybe you need a bit of comfort, because that's what he does. But let's just respond to Jesus in our own words, in our own way for a moment or two. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done, everything that you are, everything that you say, everything that you've done. I thank you, Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus. I want to see you more. I want to follow you more. I want to understand you more. I want to be used more by you. Lord, my life belongs to you, Jesus. Use it more. Do whatever you need to do, want to do in my life, through my life. I thank you that you want me to live as a sent person. Not just sent with anything, sent with the life of God, sent with the life of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you that you've got me on a journey. I'm going somewhere with purpose. I'm going somewhere with a sense of destiny. And I thank you that I'm going to some people that just maybe just need healing or setting free. Maybe they've had their own 14,000 days of disappointment, but I want to see you come into that day and change it eternally. Maybe they've had a history of nightmares and oppression and depression and just revolving patterns. But I want you to break into their day and change it. Transform it. Instead of. I want an instead of day for people. Hallelujah. An instead of kind of day. Instead of despair, they have gladness. Instead of sickness, health. Instead of oppression, freedom. Instead of poverty, wealth. Instead of isolation, adoption. Hallelujah. I want an instead of week this week. Whoever I meet, wherever it is, I want them to have an instead of kind of time. An instead of kind of experience of your presence and your power, Jesus. Lord, please do that. I want you to do that. I need you to do that. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you that you gave your life as a ransom for me and for us and for many. And I thank you that while you gave your life, you opened up the possibility of living this new life today and now. And I thank you that you said when you first took this first meal with your first followers, this is my body given. I thank you, Jesus, that no one took your life. They couldn't. You gave it willingly as a gift. I thank you that you broke it, said, this is my body given, and you gave thanks. And I thank you that after supper you took the cup, you said, this is the blood of the new covenant, new promise, new contract, new level of agreement between God and man. You did it, you made it. And I just thank you that today that blood speaks, the blood says accepted, the blood says forgiven, The blood says healed. The blood says whole. The blood says healed. The blood says whole. The blood says healed. And the blood says whole. I thank you that the blood says clean. The blood says accepted. Thank you that the blood says redeemed and restored and repaired. I thank you that the blood is the vehicle instead. That's where you did the miracle. His blood says not guilty. His blood says you're free. His blood says you're favored. His blood says you're one of mine. His blood says you are adopted. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you that as we receive these gifts, as we just pray for one another, moved by your power in these next few moments, God, where there's people that need healing, heal them. Where there's people that need healing in the heart or the head or the body, heal them. I thank you where people just need to know that they're part of a family. Make that real and known to them. Where people might just feel as if they've been left out in the cold, bring them into the warmth of the family. Where people just feel desperate, I thank you that you meet the desperate and you change their life. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pass the bread around in a moment. You can have as much of the bread as you want. You can have it as many times as you want. We're not religious here. But we only take the cup once. Okay? So you might want to take a bit of bread for you. And if you need to go and pray with someone and maybe share your heart for a minute with them, then maybe take a bit of bread with you and go to them and pray with them as well. You just do whatever you feel you should do right now. But when the cup comes around, receive afresh the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.